Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
I think one of the things that we often do to our collective detriment is that we think about a leader as someone who looks a certain way, has a certain job title, works in a particular field or organization. And when we do that, we sort of think about, you know, who do we see in the movies or who do we see in the popular media? We think about Jeff Bezos, we think about Bill Gates, we think about, you know, typically businessmen, and we think about politicians, perhaps. So people that have that traditional notion of power and authority wrapped up with a role in an organization.
The greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He is the one that gets the people to do the greatest things, Ronald Reagan. And I continue to share with you, before I get into who my guest is for today on The Entrepreneurial You, just a tool that I have found very effective, and I want to share that with you to make your social media management a lot easier. Of course, it's way, way less time consuming than anything else that you would have ever tried, or even if you've never tried a social media management tool, now this one is the one for you. You'll be able to improve your team and clients' collaboration and productivity. And of course, I'm talking about eClincher. You can finally get around to doing that project that you've always wanted to do, because guess what? You have time on your hands now. So visit the show notes page of this episode and sign up for a free 14-day trial using my affiliate link, which will be in the show notes page of this episode. So whether you are an SME, an agency, or enterprise, eClincher is for you. So sign up today. All right. Greetings, my peak performer, and how are you doing? It is, in fact, episode 233 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I am your host, Henneka Watkus Porter, and today's episode is with Wendy Ryan. Now, Wendy is the CEO of Kadabra, an interdisciplinary team of leadership and change experts based in Silicon Valley, California. In addition to her work with Kadabra, Wendy is an active mentor, yes, very active, I know that, strategic advisor and angel investor, and an advocate for expanding diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in the investor and business ecosystems. Wendy has been featured in media such as Authority Magazine, Business Digest, Diversity in STEAM, YFS Magazine, and Sheen Magazine. So yeah, I'm really excited as we look forward to this conversation that we're going to be having on Learn, Lead, Lift, how to think, act, and inspire your way to greatness. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Henneka. Wonderful to be here.
It is so good to have you. And you know what? I love transparency. And, you know, this is our double take. And I'm telling our audience that this is our double take because Murphy's Law...
Yes.
Murphy's Law did happen to us. And as a result of that, we had to, you know, re-record. And this happens in the podcasting world, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. So before we get into our topic of the day, do you know anything about Jamaica? Have you ever had any Jamaican interaction, any food, anything of that sort?
Yes, it has been many years since I set foot on Jamaican soil, but what stands out to me in my memory, and I'm eager to repeat whenever we get the chance to travel again, is really just the sense of the place. It's the vibrancy, and I think that has to do with the energy of the people and the food and the music, all in combination. Mm-hmm. It's just a feast for the senses to me.
Oh, yeah. A feast for the senses, a sensory overload, if you will.
Sometimes, yes.
All right. I am glad that you actually had a chance to experience Jamaica, because you haven't lived if you haven't, I guarantee you.
I agree.
All right, let's get back to our reason for being here, which is to talk about learn, lead, lift, how to think, act, and inspire your way to greatness. Now, when we talk about leadership, I like to start with a question of getting into the, you know, a little philosophical detail about whether leaders are born or whether they are made. So are they born or made?
That is the $6 million question, as we like to say in my field. And millions of dollars have been spent over the last, probably just the last year, in trying to answer that. But I think from my perspective, it's a little bit of both, but primarily leaders are made. It's really what we do with the raw material that we come into being with that determines whether we're going to become a great leader or not.
So it has to do with perhaps our environment and also intentionality. So let's talk a little bit about the intentionality of becoming a leader that is worth following.
Yes, I think intentionality is a huge key. And the thing that really distinguishes often the best leaders from leaders that we say, I'm not so sure that's someone I want to follow is this someone who clearly does have an intention? And is it an intention to move something forward that's not just about self-aggrandizement? It's not just about making things better for ourselves when we're the leader, but it's about making things better for others and for the mission of the organization or the team or the project that we're trying to move forward. So it's more of a we orientation, not a me orientation.
Mm. And we're not, as we kind of allude to, really born to, you know, doing all of these things, knowing all of these things. So how does one learn with that intentionality in mind? How does one learn leadership?
I think that life is a great teacher for leadership. I think one of the things that we often do to our collective detriment is that we think about a leader as someone who looks a certain way, has a certain job title, works in a particular field or organization. And when we do that, we sort of think about, you know, who do we see in the movies or who do we see in the popular media? We think about Jeff Bezos. We think about Bill Gates. We think about, you know, typically businessmen, and we think about politicians, perhaps. So people that have that traditional notion of power and authority wrapped up with a role in an organization. And unfortunately, when we do that, we miss all of the tremendous leadership that's all around us in other contexts, like in our homes, in our communities, in our schools. And so I think the first way to really accelerate leadership development, if that's our goal, is to recognize that a lot of our life experience gives us the opportunity to acquire the mindsets and the skill sets and the behaviors that we need to become great leaders. Sometimes we just need to be flexible enough in our thinking that we can appreciate that we really have done more and we really have learned more than we may think we have.
Mm-hmm. And as we kind of connect the topic that I mentioned earlier to what we've been saying, learn, lead, lift, how to think, act, and inspire your way to greatness. Because leadership actually really is about, first it started with you developing yourself, but then after that it becomes you wanting to develop other people. Because if it's just for you alone, then clearly, you know, it makes no sense because you're not expanding, you know, and making the world a better place, really, and inspiring. So how, before I go that, let's connect that topic to leadership, you know, learn and inspire your way to greatness. You have a book with that title. Am I correct?
I do. And yes. The book really looks at and introduces what I call the Learn, Lead, Lift framework, which, as I sort of snuck in a couple moments ago, is really about what are the mindsets, the skill sets, and the behaviors that we can think about with leadership. And that helps us figure out what are the things we need to work on and develop, but also what are the things we want to start to notice and spot in others so that we can encourage them to really develop those things more.
Because at the end of the day, it's, as I alluded to, it's really about, you know, developing other people and inspiring other people. And the more we are able to do that, the more we're able to get persons to follow us, you know, as we lead. Not that we are getting in a position that is, quote unquote, higher than they are, but it's just, you know, inspiring persons to their best self. How important is it for leaders to inspire people, to inspire others, you know, those who they work with, their team members, their colleagues, to inspire them to be their best selves? How important is that?
I think it's critically important. I consider inspiring and including both to be essential skill sets for leadership. And sometimes people are a little intimidated when they think about becoming an inspiring leader. So if we just take the inspiring piece of that, because they think, uh-oh, to be inspiring, I've got to have lots of charisma. I've got to be loud. I've got to be outgoing. I've got to be someone who commands attention at the front of the room. And unfortunately, even though those behaviors are helpful, they aren't necessarily what we're talking about when it comes to inspiring. So you can be quiet, you can be an introvert, you can be someone who doesn't do public speaking and be incredibly inspirational. So it has more to do with how do you interact with and show up to people one-on-one or in small groups? And are you consistently the same positive, encouraging person? Are you consistently putting forth the energy that says, I see you, I see your gifts and talents, and I want to help you nurture those? So it's much more an orientation and a way of being with other people that isn't about volume. It's about intention, back to where we started this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I want to focus a little on the mindset, you know, aspect of it, shifting the mindset to lead, because, you know, as we've been alluding to and stating categorically that it does take intentionality. Now, when you have been part of an environment, you become almost like that environment. You become those that are around you. And sometimes you are not necessarily, maybe perhaps, you know, not by choice, but you're not necessarily the best of environment to facilitate your development and that mindset shift. How does one do that, you know, when they've been disadvantaged to begin with?
Yes, well, I think I really appreciate this question, because I think a real falsehood that is still pervasive is that this belief that we all start from the same starting line. You know, if we visualize life and leadership as a track, you know, the Olympics are going on as we're recording this. And I think about this as, you know, if we're all starting at the same place and running a race, we're really not starting at the same place, are we? And we need to acknowledge that first. And so wherever we are starting from, even if we're starting much further back than someone else, and we could say we are disadvantaged in that way, we're all starting with something. And one of the most powerful things we can leverage are mindsets in leadership, because mindsets are the lenses through which we view the world. They're neurological components of how our brain works, and they affect what we perceive, what we pay attention to, what we ignore, how well we learn, how we make decisions. So basically everything that goes on in terms of what leads up to us taking action or responding to a person or a situation is being influenced by our mindset. So, and mindsets are something that we don't need to have a lot of resources in order to work on, because they're internal to ourselves. So if we have a sense of what are the ways we want to encourage ourselves to be thinking that ultimately will help us get further in leadership and in life, we can boil it down to a couple of things that are really key. One of those things is a growth mindset. And you've probably talked and a lot of your listeners have heard about that before, but that's a way of thinking that says, You know, I am always able to learn. I'm always able to improve. So it's an assumption that that is always possible. Another one that's really key is what we call grit. And grit is about realizing that failure is a sign that we need to adjust something and try again. It doesn't mean that we've reached the limit of our ability necessarily. So it's that persistence and that ability to recognize that success isn't something that usually happens right out the gate. So those are two really important mindsets. I think the third one I would throw in there, and these are not the only that I identify in the book, but I think is really important for us to mention, is that identity matters. And traditionally in leadership and management science, a lot of us were taught that we weren't supposed to acknowledge different identities. We weren't supposed to notice that someone was Black or someone was white or someone dressed a certain way. We were sort of supposed to pretend that we were, again, all the same. And I think as we've learned in the last few years, and I hope we continue to learn and get a lot better at this going forward, leading today and leading into the future means we really need to make space for people's identity, and we need to understand that identities shape our experience. So the experience I'm having as a white, cisgender, heterosexual woman in the same organization, in the same meeting, might be very different than the experience that my male, bisexual, Asian coworker is having. And that mindset is huge for us in leadership because it allows us to really understand that different things are happening for different people, and we have to pay attention to that.
As we discuss that, I also want to look at knowing when to change. And this is against the backdrop of when I think about Maslow's four stages of learning, Abraham Maslow. Mm-hmm. The first stage, of course, is unconscious incompetence, right? We don't know that we don't know. In an environment where, as you say, that we weren't really supposed to talk about the differences that we have because there are differences, how do we really know when to change, right? Is it something that is intuitive? What is it? Do we wait on the teacher to appear if the student is ready to learn, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think some educational settings, just like whether it's a family or it's formal schooling or it's training that you're receiving in an organization, some do a better job of really inviting us to become critical thinkers and to take a look at what our assumptions are in a given moment and then be able to challenge those or do what we'd like to call perspective taking, which is, wow, I really feel strongly that XYZ is true. What if ABC were actually true instead? What would that imply? And so I think there are a lot of spaces in which that happens, but I think in the majority of cases, that doesn't happen. We're a little bit fearful, or the systems that we're operating in are, you know, kind of put pressure on us to not stop and think about things too much, and not question, if I thought about this differently, what might be possible, or what might another explanation be for this? So I think that as parents, as athletic coaches, as music teachers, as leaders, as business people, one thing we can do to help people change and expand is to create those spaces for people to notice assumptions and then play with those a little. Say, what's going on here? Why do I think this way? What are some other ways to think about it?
Right. And I think you've answered the question that I wanted to get to. But before I do that, I know that many persons perhaps who are not aware of Maslow's stages of learning probably perhaps are mad at me right now because I mentioned the stage one and I've not mentioned the other. So let me just go through them quickly. So there is, we talked about unconscious incompetence, where you really don't know that you don't know something, right? And then right. We moved into the stage of conscious incompetence, when you know that you don't know and you haven't yet taken any steps to learn. Then there's conscious competence, when you are very aware, right? Because that you didn't know. So you took the step to learn and know you're consciously competent. And then in the final stage, it gets to unconscious competence where you, it's like second nature. You're so good at what you do that you're doing it without realizing. So it's unconscious competence. And so my question to you, Wendy, is with all of that, you know, talking about the change and how the change happens and so on, how do we get to that stage? And you would have, you know, put some little dots, you know, before, but how do we put those dots together and take us to the point of getting to that unconscious competence in terms of how we deal with, how we lead as we're talking about diversity, how we lead as we approach people who are different, approach scenarios that are, you know, foreign to us and so on?
Yeah, I think certainly starting with mindsets is always a good foundation. So understanding how we think and learning how to think about how we think is a great starting point, because that gives us, again, the ability to really learn and acquire more skills as we go. So then moving into the skill sets, I would say once we sort of understand our mindsets and we also understand what mindsets we might want to work on, especially if we're eager to become great leaders, then we can look at what are some of the skill sets that enable that. And probably some of the hardest skill sets to acquire and the ones that are most important to that sort of unconscious competence that you mentioned would be emotional intelligence.
Absolutely key.
Yeah. And systems thinking is another one. Which I like to call seeing around corners. So it's recognizing that as humans, by and large, we're not very good at long-term thinking. We do not start out as children being good at that. We're very much anchored in the now. And then as adults, you know, we get maybe a little bit better at that. We say, well, I've got to deal with the week ahead or the month ahead. But in leadership, it's absolutely critical to be able to take the longer view, because that helps us tolerate some of the discomfort that we're feeling in the now when we encounter those situations that are new to us or we feel like we don't quite know what to say or do. And it also helps us see back to inspiring and including, like, what could be some of the positive outcomes if we take certain steps today? Likewise, what might be some of the negative outcomes later on, further out, if we do XYZ? So I think those are two that I would really invite people to lean into, read about, think about. Another technique I think is so helpful in any of this is to think about who are the role models for these particular skills. So who in your life is really good at long-term thinking? And for some of us, no one is. And that's okay. We probably can find somebody in media, in a movie, in a book we've read. Anytime you can anchor an ideal state to an actual person or an example, whether they're fictional or real, it helps us figure out how to move ourselves in that direction. So that would be another way to help advance, you know, your progress toward that unconscious competence without having to invest a lot of money or go to a certain school or program.
Interesting. And as we are about to wrap this conversation, Wendy, perhaps there's something I didn't ask that you need to say, you're burning to say as it relates to the topic. Please go ahead and just wrap, you know, with your final thoughts.
Sure. Well, the third aspect of the Learn, Lead, Lift framework that we didn't have a chance to talk about much is behaviors. And behaviors are how we show up to other people. And the way I would invite your listeners to think about that is, you know, I can have really worked on my mindsets. I can hone my skill sets and look to learn as much as I can about how to do things. Ultimately, I also need to make sure that people are experiencing me the way that I want them to experience me. And that's what behaviors are about. And there are five behaviors that I think are critical to great leadership. And the acronym that I use for those is FIDAH, F-I-D-A-H. F stands for focus. I stands for integrity. D stands for decisiveness. A for authenticity. And H for humility. If you interview great leaders or you ask people about who the best leaders are that they've ever seen or worked with, those are the five things that most consistently in my research come up again and again. Humility, people being able to make decisions, leaders who provide focus, leaders who are absolutely dedicated to integrity. So those are behavioral patterns that are universal, no matter what sector, what environment that we're in. So it kind of brings this full circle back to where we started with the idea that how we define a leader and where leaders show up, we need to think very broadly about that. They're not just the people that are sitting at the head of a corporate boardroom, conference room table. You know, it's much, much, much more than that.
Absolutely. It's much more than that. You know, we all have a role to play as we develop ourselves, you know, to inspire our way to greatness, and not just ourselves, but inspire others as well. Wendy Ryan, you have been such a good sport, you know, a great guest, and I really appreciate you. I truly appreciate you coming to talk with us on the topic, Learn, Lead, Live, Help to Think, Act, and Inspire Your Way to Greatness. And we did kind of zone it in on leadership, because leadership, everything rises and falls with leadership. We know that, right? So it's a necessary conversation that we needed to have had. So thank you so much, Wendy, for sharing. And at this point, I'm going to ask you just to give us, I know you have, you had mentioned at some point that you have a giveaway, a downloadable self-awareness guide. And so you can share that and also share where my community get in touch with you if they want to reach out after this conversation.
Yes. So I can be reached by email, wendy@wearekadabra.com. And you can also visit the website for the book, www.learnleadlift.com. Learn, Lead, Lift is all one word. And you can find links to free downloads there and anything and all things Learn, Lead, Lift.
Awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. Thank you so much. And it has been my pleasure, Wendy. And I wish you every success as you continue to inspire yourself and continue to effect change in your neck of the woods and impacts the globe.
Likewise, Henneke, keep doing the great work you're doing also.
Thank you. And thank you, my people, for tuning in to this episode with Wendy Ryan. I certainly look forward to connecting with you next week, of course. In the meantime, please continue to connect with me for all things podcasting, whether it's production, if you have a corporate company, you want me to produce a podcast like I do for the Exim Bank Jamaica and the Jamaica Stock Exchange, then sure, reach out to me. I'd be happy to connect with you for that. You want my book? Well, one of my books, but particularly podcasting, or if you want coaching, one-on-one coaching, or even the online course, then by all means, visit HennekeWatkisporter.com and send me a WhatsApp message right from my homepage. And this week's point of hope: but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. Matthew 20, verse 26. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.